Yes.
I should say something. I usually speak sooner than this, but outdoors the imperative isn't as strong. There's a kind of tension that develops in a crowd, especially once surrounded by four walls. It becomes hostility before long if you don't say anything. I try not to just open my mouth and let it run without having some idea of a point. But I have no choice really day after day, night after night, but to do just that and start talking and hoping that by the time I've finished, we have not yet reached the point of diminishing returns, as in, you know, the guy you sit next to on the bus who begins talking, and you give them the benefit of the doubt, if there even is a doubt in the beginning, that he's got something in mind now that he's talking to you, something he's trying to tell you. Until after, you know, a few minutes, you realize he has nothing in his mind. And before we've reached that conclusion between ourselves, I'm just going to stop. Although we may have already reached it. And in either case, no matter how much discomfort I create by doing such a thing, it's preferable to the agony we undergo if I say nothing at all. So this is what I'm doing now is really a demonstration of the heights of professionalism. And I'm very proud of myself. Thank you. I was talking a little while ago with a friend of mine about Joe Pass, who I recently had the chance to play with over a period of about 2 months. We met in Australia about 6 years ago. And wound up touring here with Pepe Romero and Paco Pena. And somewhere in the midst of all of that, I took up the cigar because Pepe smokes them and Joe smokes them, and it was a great opportunity to learn cigar. As a matter of fact, Joe dissected one for me one night on the bus to show me how it worked. I don't know if you've ever really given it much study, but there aren't a lot of moving parts in a cigar. That didn't seem to slow Joe up any in his admiration for the instrument itself. And as hard as I tried, I couldn't make a connection between it and the kind of music Joe was playing, nor could I see any improvement in mine, which is really what I'd been hoping for. I'd given up asking Joe for any help, because if I asked him, he played a tune, by the way, that started something like that. And then the next chord form was somewhere through there. And I made the mistake one day of asking Joe, is this right? Is this where you're going on that? He said, no, this is right. This, and he grabbed my little finger, belongs up here. I don't know if you can see the little bend in it now. When Joe died, he died in his sleep. Not many people know this, with a smile on his face. I like to think that he was thinking about my pinky when he died. Because sometime after Australia, I was down, I don't live in this state, but I was at work here a lot, and I was down in a Beverly Garland, Howard Johnson's in North Hollywood, having a horrible time. And I woke up the next morning, and one of Joe's cigars was on that thing you hit your head on next to the bed, and I lit it. And this tune issued forth as I continue to say again and again, in a fit of pure inspiration and nausea. Every day in the morning when you get up and you crawl out of bed and you crawl out of bed and you crawl out of bed. Every day in the morning when you get up and you crawl out of bed and you look out the moon where the window is and the stars shine and the stars shine and the stars shine. Every day in the morning when you get up and you crawl out of bed. And way down below in the sun belt and the telephones and the telephones and the telephones. You look out the moon where the window is every day in the morning when you get up and you crawl out of bed. Some of us breathe in the brown ground where the worms clown, where the worms clown, where the worms clown. Way down below in the sun belt, every day in the morning when you get up and you crawl out of bed. Some of us breathe in the brown ground every day in the morning when you get up and you crawl out of bed. So we're all asleep in the same dream, in the snort fort, the snort fort, in the snort fort. Every night when you lay down, every day in the morning when you get up and you crawl out of bed. Santa Claus, modified snow peas, and the sunroofs, and the sunroofs, and the sunroofs. We're all asleep in the same dream every day in the morning when you get up. If you look in the mirror, it's your father's face and the thin grin and the thin grin and the thin grin. look in the mirror, it's your father's face every day in the morning. You get up and you crawl out. Once in a while, when the wind blows and the heart whines and the heart whines and the heart whines, there's tears in the bank and a credit card every day in the morning when you get up and you crawl out. What you get from a cigar. Something flew into my eye and I can see through it. Sort of. What on earth is that? Man alive. I was playing out here once. Where was I? Santa Barbara, I had my eyes closed, you know, I was grooving, and I opened them for a minute because I had to make another chord, you know, can't do that without looking, and there was a bumblebee the size of my thumb sitting on my thumb, which I needed to use for the next chord, so I didn't make the next chord. I waited. All I had was a groove at that point. The charms and the relief of harmony were gone. And only this damn beat. Oh, let's play this. This is a tune that I think I first heard when I was a kid, and I was living probably in Wyoming at the time, in Cheyenne, which is a town overrun with minor delinquents. At least it was then, and I was mesmerized by this sort of patina of crime that surrounded everything, and was trying my best to fit in, and it wasn't too hard because, you know, as I said, we were minors, and the degree of criminality was fairly petty. We would, for example, we were involved in breaking and entering, vandalism, you know, shoplifting. We had a plan. We each carried a club drilled out in the center and filled with lead that we'd melted down from tire weights. The best part of that was melting the lead down, because you did it in a coffee can, and of course you had to look down into the coffee can to make sure it was boiling properly. We never realized why that was such a thrill until it was too late. And we'd become dyslexic and our memories were short. And we had an appetite for paint. This was... When we would break in somewhere and enter, we wouldn't hang around. We'd run away. I don't think that's the way you do a breaking and entering sort of gig, but it's the way we did it. We were inept. You know, we just delusions of grandeur, and even those were pretty paltry. We had a plan to, there were about six of us, and we planned at one time to roll the janitor of the grade school with these little clubs that we had, because everybody knows that janitors are loaded with cash. And at some point in this idyll, I realized that things could get serious before long, and they did for a couple of people, and I wanted to get out of town, and I was stuck there, and I couldn't, and you cannot say, I'm not going to break in and enter with you guys. You can't say that, otherwise you won't have a friend left. And I remember during this pursuit, during which time a kid named Virgil Dial burst and died. And later on, one of these guys fell down a missile silo on the airbase there. He was helping to build the silo. It wasn't as though he walked up to a Nike installation and fell in. And maybe you can do that, but I hope not. Anyhow, as a soundtrack to all of this, there were pieces like this on the radio. They were arranged differently, of course. Thank you. if I remembered Blue Dot, I'd play it. It's very hard to play, and that's how I managed to forget it. I like it. What was I going to do here? Oh, I remember. It goes backwards every day. after that, she'd call me up. She'd say, I'm sorry, and I'd hang up. I saw her once some parking lot. I smiled, I waved, she didn't know. She's gone, and I don't know when. I loved her more. I loved her then. I loved her. This 12 string was giving us trouble here during the. Let's see if it still is. Lint. kids to school. I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. All of my good times, all my running around. One of these days I might be in your town. And I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. Seen the lights of cities and I've been inside their door. Sailed to foreign countries and walked upon their shore. I guess the guy she married was the best part of my life. She dug him cause he drove a pickup truck. I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. All of my good times, all my running around. One of these days I might be in your town. And I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. Everything it takes to get a guy like me in love. Lord, I hope she's happy, cause she sure deserves to be, especially for what she did for me. And I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. All of my good times, all my running around. One of these days I might be in. And I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown.
Oh, Well, what you think, folks? Pretty much says it all. One more time for Leo Patti.
Sound good out here. I wrote this tune for it. This is the truth for a lithographer from Ljubljana named Seka Tavčar. She makes she carves the stone, runs one litho, and then destroys the stone. So she's an insane lithographer from Ljubljana. One of my favorite people.
Thanks, Leo. That was just great. Leo Kottke here at the Fat Fry.